obviously sends his regards and looks forward to being here in the future.
So do you want to, are we recording?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and start. So welcome everyone to the Law Enforcement Advisory Committee meeting for Monday, November 20th. Steve, would you mind taking roll,
sure.
Please?
John Whitman.
Here.
Eric Reynolds. Jay Wasserman. Mike Felix. Richard Murd.
Yep.
Tom Dodge.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Colicott.
Here.
Councilman Rossini.
Here.
Wayne Sazel.
Here.
Jeff Puckett.
Here.
We're good to go.
Okay, well, he's not here, but we'll, even though he's not here, we'd just like to say a welcome, get it on record that we're looking forward to meeting and working with Ruben Ibarra, a new resident member of the LEAC. He's sounds like he has a wealth of knowledge. I guess he's a commander from Santa Ana PD. So it'll be nice to get some fresh perspective on some ideas here in the city, and we look forward to working with him. So. We'll move on to number three. We have some members here of the public. Welcome. Do we have any public comment tonight?
I would like to make a quick introduction from the...
Go ahead. Ed Howard from the Orange Unified School District.
Welcome, Ed. Thank you.
Hey, Wayne.
How are you doing?
Hey, buddy. How are you
doing? Okay, let's go to fourth item on the agenda, the approval of the minutes from our August 29th, 17 meeting. Take a few moments to take a look at that, and if anyone's got any thing they'd like updated or changed, please let me know.
Okay, just for the record, Eric Reynolds just walked in, so attends.
Welcome.
Take a look at the minutes, Eric, see if you see anything there that you disapprove of or would like to add. We're going to approve the minutes. Okay, I took a look at them already. I'm comfortable with approving them, so I'll make a motion to approve. We can get a second.
Second.
Okay, you want to just do a voice vote? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any nays? Hearing none, let's go ahead and approve the minutes. Okay. Move on to new business. First item of new business is Nixle, which is a public alert system that a lot of law enforcement and cities are going to, and as a means of notifying their residents of things that involve public safety and law enforcement that are occurring in their city. I believe Councilman Rossini has some more information on that he can shed on that.
I asked staff to check into this Nixle application or program to find out its feasibility and whether it would be worthwhile to look into for a city the size of Villa Park with the unique needs of the city of Villa Park as just another vehicle to get information out to our public, whether it's emergency or traffic or other type of issues. It's a mass notification application system, ease of opt-ins. Residents can opt in to receive alerts by texting their zip code or a custom keyword to a number. It's a traditional mass notification. Traditional mass notification systems require you to fill out a form online. This is a little more simplistic, a little more user-friendly. Its use is It can be used across multiple different agencies within Villa Park, administration, public works, planning. It can be used for emergency alerts, but also for more day-to-day occurrences such as traffic, construction, water main breaks, law enforcement activity. Additionally, you can create private groups that enable two-way communication for internal notifications. Google Public Alerts, Nixle is the sole emergency notification vendor on the Google Public Alert Network. When you send a Nixle message categorized as emergency alert, it will be rebroadcasted through Google. So that's obviously a pretty big vehicle. If a resident isn't opted in and they go to Google Maps or Google Search and enter Villa Park, California, or missing person, your message will be at the top of the search results. Given, again, some of the unique demographics of our community and an aging population and the limited law enforcement that we do have, though it's excellent and our crime is low, we do have the obviously the possibility of some folks who are maybe broadcasting on a silver alert basis, elderly folks that walk away from their homes or stuff like that, that might want to get that information out quite quick, and this would be a vehicle to do that. There are obviously a number of different applications, as I previously mentioned. That's just one in particular. Obviously, stuff that goes on at the schools, very, very important as well. For a community of roughly 6,000 residents, like Villa Park, the Nixle system will cost, looks like $3,000 per year, plus initial one-time setup of $240. Given that price tag and our limited budget, I think it's very important for us to have an open and thorough discussion about that before I would make any recommendation or I would advise this committee to think long and hard about that. But I think it's a good vehicle for us to look into.
How is the notification provided? Is it by text or email or?
Steve?
It's by choice.
Yeah.
It can be whatever electronic vehicle you want.
Okay.
Can it do like be on the lookouts for, like, so in other words, a resident, has something occur at their house, they see a suspicious vehicle leaving the area and Sheriff's Department responds to something. Can it get information out to the residents and just another set of eyes on something that might freshly occur? This is a means of providing, more witnesses or eyes out there looking for something?
Something along those lines, yes.
Okay.
That's my understanding. Sir?
Like every one of these, like Waze and others, it invites a nuisance. Young people get on, as I think Mary wrote in a previous report to this committee, that kids have reported a major traffic congestion at, I believe it was at Lemon and Santiago, and alternative routes recommended. There wasn't anybody there. The kids go on to create humor.
Yeah, I don't.
Nixle's, it's like, they're going to have, Orange County Sheriff should have some Nixle inputs, right?
To be honest, I don't know if we do or don't.
Yeah. They it's just basically it's giving you bigger things than that.
Yeah, I know, but if you want to be, if it's up to public input to record stuff onto the site, if it isn't governed or screened.
No, I think it's controlled.
It's controlled. It's wide open. Right. Controlled by the city itself.
It controlled by whatever delegated authority. If it,
right,
if they were to give it to the sheriff,
it's an internal entity. It's
so there is an oversight.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So there's an administrator that has responsibility for publishing. It's not something like the neighborhood one or something like that.
Like next door.
Next door. It's not like where anybody can enter anything.
Right. Okay.
This is clearly
it's pretty large. LA County has a lot of, most cities are on it.
Are there any communities in Orange County that are on
it? I was just going to ask that question.
Santa Ana. I believe Santa Ana is one. There are probably a handful of other ones. I think at this point in time, maybe we table the discussion, and when Ruben's back here, we can discuss it with him and have our lieutenant look into this and see if Orange County Sheriff's Department has something similar or could work with the Nixle system, and we can find out a little bit more about it.
Okay. Do you, Lieutenant Puck, you got any thoughts on it?
Well, it sounds fantastic, but I wish I had more than that. I just have never heard of it before.
Right.
On the outside, I don't know if the Sheriff's Department has it or not, but it's definitely something we can look into.
Okay, so we could table it for the next meeting. So in between now and next meeting, what are we looking exactly to do then?
Just to find out more about it.
Okay.
And then if we could find out what cities use it and get a little bit more feedback from them.
Okay.
And then obviously take a look at the dollars and cents on that and see if that's something worth the $3,000 investment into.
So the initial fee is $3,000 or is there an annual?
The initial fee is $240.
Okay.
And then the
you're paying for an ongoing service that you're running.
$3,000. And that's where I think, kind of to address some of your concerns, because there is significant oversight into this, and it's obviously not something that I can just put something in there like some of the older applications. It's a little more professional.
We need withdrawal provision in there too. Find it's not necessary or unsatisfactory.
So, Steve, would you have someone on your staff
sure.
that could do it, that could check with other cities or
sure.
do it,
we'll
see it, and then maybe we can kind of get you know some feedback from those cities
sure.
to see if you know if they're happy with it, if it's been beneficial, if it's worth the money.
I think the other thing we talk about is the sheriff, Lieutenant Puck, was just telling me about some of their efforts they're doing on the social media right now. So I think we'd want to make sure the sheriff's on board too if they're
exactly.
doing something
absolutely.
That's not
exactly.
conflicting. So you want
yeah.
to talk
Incredible.
About what you were just telling me.
And to be honest, I don't know if this is the same thing what Nixle is or not, but one of the things that we've talked about since I think the first day I got here is increasing our community policing efforts in all of our jurisdictions. It'll definitely be one of them. And it seems like the most cost-effective way to do that these days is through social media. So Villa Park has now its own, through the Sheriff's Department Facebook page, Twitter account, and one other that's escaping me right now. But regardless, they exist. And one thing that we've noticed, and this is kind of common sense, is during the recent fires, social media was the best way to get information out to people in terms of evacuations and road closures and whatnot. That's an effort the Sheriff's Department is going forward with, but I'm not sure if that's what Nixle does or not, but maybe they can work in conjunction
and we can,
with each other.
Before the next meeting, we can get together and talk and find out what the sheriff uses that for and how they would envision would this work with it or not, or
right.
if it's, we certainly wouldn't want them to. The key here is with Nixle is it has to be administered and shot out. So, I mean, in a situation like that, it would be the sheriff that would be initiating certain things or whatever. So if it's conflicting with things they're already sending out, I don't think we want to get into something like that. But
or maybe the sheriff's efforts are so
significant right.
that this is an unnecessary vehicle. But as we found out, things are changing constantly and hopefully for the better. So thank you.
I have Nixle for a couple cities in L.A., and it's not that many messages. So, I mean, it's not like it's just overwhelming. And it doesn't go into more of like, you know, they have G-stops, not even necessarily like shooting now calls. Not necessarily what they're for. It's more of an emergency type thing. More of the city's going to be affected than just one intersection or something like that.
And you can limit it to just one zip code.
Yeah, and you could actually add zip codes around, like if you live on the border of Orange and Villa Park, you can put both of those in, or Anaheim and Villa Park.
Okay, so a resident can
decide which
areas
they're
going
to
get. Okay.
But I think probably the sheriff's department has something that's probably pretty equivalent.
Thank you.
Great, we'll move on. So go to item B, taking back our community coalition. I had this put on the agenda. I had gotten word of a coalition that the city of Monrovia had originated, mainly due to some of the legislative bills, Assembly Bill 109, Prop 47, Prop 57, which a lot of law enforcement professionals, including ourselves, believe is a reason for the uptick that we've seen in crime. Since these laws have been passed, noticing dwindling populations in our prison systems and just a lot higher crime rate going on. So as a means of helping to combat that and awareness, the city of Monrovia started this coalition. They currently now have what it appears to be, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 10 other cities that have joined it as well. We have a sample staff report that just kind of talks about the objectives of this community coalition, which is to raise public awareness of why crime is increasing in our state, provide a consistent message surrounding facts and impacts of Assembly Bill 109, Prop 47, and Prop 57. It advocates for state legislative changes to improve law enforcement's ability to respond to crime. The benefits, if the city were to become a member of the coalition, would be Obviously, we would be included on the coalition, the city's logo there as a member of the coalition. There's an infographic video summarizing the issue along with impactful video stories told by community members impacted by crime increasing. In-depth legislative tracking and analysis related to proposed state legislation. Access to customizable outreach material to share with community members, including informational brochures, comprehensive fact sheets on AB 109, Prop 47, and Prop 57, sample letters to state lawmakers, and an opportunity to regularly meet with regional members and guest speakers to further the coalition's impact. There is a fiscal impact to cities that are on the coalition, which is $1,500 each year that they wish to remain in the coalition. So on that, what we're here tonight to is to discuss this, and if we all feel this is something that would benefit the city, to hopefully come to a consensus and make a recommendation to city council to look at this and hopefully approve it for us to become a part of the coalition.
Yeah, John, everybody on here is a San Gabriel Valley city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no Orange County cities as of yet.
Yeah.
So comments, questions?
I actually forwarded this to you. I encountered, ran into folks from Monrovia and went into their, one of their presentations at the League of Cities conference, I think it was in September. And it was my understanding from speaking with them, and that the city manager is actually championing this this project or this initiative, is that the fee for a city the size of Villa Park would be negotiable, and that's something we should probably look into before we make any recommendations, you know, how negotiable
right.
they are.
And I think another thing we need to look at, too, is our crime rates are going down, so we need to think about whether or not, you know, we want to take on costs
yes.
when our crime rates are going down. So I get that. So did what other kind of feedback were you able to solicit from them?
That was about it.
Just, okay.
Yeah, and has there been any communication with Monrovia on this program?
Not
See if
that
there
I
are
know
any
of.
Other cities that have joined. I know that the city of San Bernardino was also looking into joining this group.
Okay. I know, Vince, you, I think one of you guys went to some type of expo or fair where they had a booth there and they had some people speaking. Do you guys have any other issues, any other information on it?
I don't have any further than what's been discussed, but
okay.
I think that we should definitely continue to look into this. Somebody's got to stand up and say enough's enough when it comes down to AB 109 and Prop 47, Prop 57, and continue to spread the word about that. Obviously, the fee is significant for a city of our size, and we need to do our due diligence, find out what that negotiability is that we may or may not have. Being the first city in Orange County, maybe there's some leverage. Maybe there's a, you know, we're, rather than riding on the coattails of others, maybe we're setting a benchmark in Orange County and trying to say, you know, law and order still matters. And it matters in Villa Park, so you come to Villa Park, stand by. Maybe that's the message we're sending. But obviously, we don't want to act recklessly or foolishly or dive into this. So I think that we do some follow-up analysis on this and bring it back to the next meeting. But I would love to hear what anybody else has to say, certainly our Lieutenant Church Police Services.
I think it's a fantastic idea. I'd be curious, would the end game with joining this coalition be to get new legislation put in front of the Senate to
yeah.
change?
That's what I think they want to do. I think the more they grow and the more powerful they can get, then that would probably be the end game, I think, is because I think the bigger you are and the more of the word you can get out and the bigger body that you are getting that word out, I think the better the odds become better in getting that done, I believe.
Well, I will tell you my opinion would be absolutely. But I'll caution you, when we get into the crime report, my math may be a little off on this, but crime in Villa Park is down about 20% this year, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But there's no question that there are other parts of the county that are suffering because of that legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So just something to take into the decision-making process.
I agree.
Agreed.
Sir, yes, Wayne.
This does fall into Neighborhood Watch a bit.
Absolutely.
And I think from our standpoint, and I'm not voting here or anything, but I do believe that we're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've We've overcome a lot of obstacles here in the city of communication and awareness. And I want to say again how pleased we are with the Sheriff's Department's cooperation and assistance in getting these things up. In fact, later in the meeting, I will bring up the fact that we need to have our home fair, a security fair again, and get it on the schedule. So those are things that keep people aware. And I think we're representative of what they're trying to accomplish on the grassroots. As far as legislative issues, my only question on that is, where's the League of Cities and the Coalition of Cities that's already in place? They're the ones that carry the power to the legislature, more so than we would as an ad hoc small group of cities.
That might be a good question to ask the Coalition.
I think if I was going to call and get information on this from some of the communities that have joined, I probably wouldn't want to join the city of Monrovia. Since they originated the coalition, they're probably going to tell you it's
right.
You know, I would probably want to call, you know, one of the cities that have joined, just to see if they feel like they're getting bang for their buck, if it's added value to their city, and see what they can tell us and what their thoughts are on it. You know, try to find someone that's going to be a little more objective on it to see if it's worth it. And I certainly don't mind making a phone call or two to get some feedback on that. So,
also, I think we need to find out and see what, like Wayne brought up, you know, have they reached out to the League of Cities? How are they coordinating with the League of Cities?
And we can help you, John. You can always appoint one of us to research something and bring it back.
Okay. I mean, if someone else wants,
like, you got to do it yourself.
No, I mean, I think the more the merrier. If someone wants to maybe, you know, tackle, you know, a couple of cities, and I could tackle a couple of cities, and we can see what we can find out on it, and,
sure,
and try to get a little more informed with it.
It's not a bad idea.
Yes, Tom.
I'll talk to Arcadia.
Okay, you got Arcadia?
Yeah, I'll take Lockney out of Flint Ridge. I lived there for 5 years. I lived in Arcadia.
So you're going to take Lockney out of Flint Ridge?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I'll take Monrovia and Whittier. Anyone else want to?
Yeah, you can just give me whatever's left.
Okay. Why don't you go with Sierra Madre and Duarte? How's that? Mm-hmm. That just about covers them. I think we can get enough information off those to try to build a little bit of consensus from them to see if it's, you know, I think we can get informed and see if it's something worth doing. Like I said, maybe being the first of Orange County, you know, you never know. If we do find some value in it, that could be saying something as well. I think it does definitely make an impact that the city is very serious on doing all it can to reduce crime. So that certainly doesn't hurt.
Of the cities in this list, Sierra Madre is probably the closest to Villa Park.
I would agree. I had my brother-in-law used to live there, and I would agree with that. Yes.
Is there a way to start, like, how does one report a crime that didn't happen? The case in point is my neighbor had his truck in the process of being broken into. And I guess the sight of him running out in his underpants scared away the...
Well, that's still a crime. It's an attempt.
But it's not reported, right? Because the way... That was not reported.
That's up to...
Because the way that he kind of looked at it is... Well, it's not really a crime because nothing actually...
It's never too late to report to the Sheriff's Department, because even if they can't take a report, they can't do anything, they can still put out the information to their troops as a briefing information for the deputies out on the street. Most likely, based on what you said, there would be a crime or a report that could be taken. So, you know, and then that's been our message as a law enforcement advisory committee to the public, is that when they see something, if they don't report it, we can't do anything, and the Sheriff's Department can't do anything. So,
right. So my point is, and this happened to us too, by the way, mm-hmm. about a year ago. My point is that there should be some kind of communication. We have a lot of vehicles for communication. Some reinforcement of, just because the crime didn't happen in your eyes, reporting.
And it's always up to the Sheriff's Department to determine whether or not there was actually a crime or not, but. It'll always start with a phone call to the Sheriff's Department to report what someone is seeing, and then the deputy goes out there. So when you talk about the avenues to do this, it's by phone, even if it's a month later.
If I can help with this conversation, I think I understand where you're coming from. So one of the things that we found is difficult, specifically with Villa Park, is the traditional avenues that we would go to educate the public and mm-hmm. stay in contact with them. They just don't work here. A lot of residents here don't like the social media, they don't like the internet, and so the thing that we've kind of relied on is when we need to get that education component is working hand in hand with Neighborhood Watch. But I'll even go up one further. We just got done putting together a holiday safety seminar, right? About, you know, how to keep your packages from getting stolen off the front porch. And we had 50 people come, 40 of them were from Yorba Linda, and the rest were from other incorporated places, no one from Phillip Park. So I don't know how to reach this public, but we're still trying to figure out different ways. And thank God for Neighborhood Watch, that seems like the best avenue, but what we're talking about is an education component, right?
So I never saw it, and I'm all over social media. I never did anything from Neighborhood Watch. So I don't know what was used to go out there, because I mean, all of you guys know me, I'm on my phone constantly.
Are you on part of Neighborhood Watch?
I've asked to get the newsletter.
Right there.
And I was also asked to get on the survey.
It's going to you because but you're not picking it up because it's probably falling into spam unless
nope.
you've entered Neighborhood Watch as one of your contacts.
Nope.
Okay, well maybe
that's another issue, incidentally, that's hard to get through is people think that they're not receiving it because we're not sending them. It's not true. If they've registered with us, we record it. If they change their email address and don't tell us, then they don't get it. There's also the issue that, as you said, there's a lot of people that just don't like the internet and don't like to use it, and so that's difficult. But that's where our block captains are supposed to keep those neighbors informed, because they should know that we have two in our block that don't. So we print out copies and take it down to them, or ask Tom Dodge to help take the word down to him. So that's some of the issues. At any rate, use the back line. If you see a crime, if you see it, report it. Waste the time of our deputies to check it out.
Exactly. That's the message that I've been getting from Neighborhood Watch for the past couple of years. That's the message that I've been echoing on council and before council. So I think that message is out there, and candidly, I've even heard our Lieutenant Charge of Police Services echo the same sentiment. Unfortunately, you can't get through to everybody. You can't get through to people that, in some cases, don't want to listen, or are proud, or embarrassed, or whatever. But I think that it's a great point that you bring up. I think that's a point that needs to be continuously echoed, and I would invite everybody to do that with their friends, with their family, with their neighbors, whether they live in the city or outside the city. The only way for us to have the truest idea of what's going on out there is for people to report these events, these incidents, to determine whether it's a crime, whether it's an incident, whether it's a misunderstanding, whether it's an attempt burglary or an actual burglary.
Okay, so just to close out on item B, so we're going to go out and get more information. We're going to table any recommendations until we can get some more information before making any recommendations to the council. So hopefully we'll have some more on this at the next meeting. So moving on to item C, transients. I would probably ask Lieutenant Puckett if he has any updates. I have seen some of the local news and seeing that they have cleared out the areas, I believe, in Fountain Valley. And that's the only, based on what I think most of us probably read stuff on the in the local papers regarding some of the efforts that have gone there. But can you shed some more light on what's being done?
Well, I believe me, I'm not trying to be coy when I say this, but I can only share so much. And the reason being is a lot of this does not have a nexus to Villa Park. I'll start with Villa Park itself. Villa Park continues to not have a transient issue at this point. And it's something that I'm fortunate that the city manager and I have such a good relationship, because we're able to talk about these issues and continue to use proactive measures to keep the public safety where it needs to be for Villa Park. In terms of surrounding communities, kind of just what the media has already stated, the county has had a successful relationship with the Sheriff's Department and Public Works in clearing out the Fountain Valley encampment for maintenance. And it was successful.
Okay.
Did it increase the occupancy of between Chapman and Lincoln?
Yes.
What's interesting, though, I had a conversation with the Orange PD yesterday, or Friday, and they were telling me that they have not increased within the city boundaries. So it's in the riverbed, there's an issue.
Right.
But it has not carried into the city proper.
Well, that's what I meant, just moving from one part of the riverbed to the other.
So with the Orange Police Department, they joined our homeless outreach task force. And I'm going to tell you, the officers that they have assigned to their homeless team are amazing. And I would expect about zero problems with Orange.
Yeah, their heart team.
Their heart team.
Yeah, they're
absolutely
incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, they're very, very, very proactive. So, pretty happy to be working.
It's going
to
be a big mess, that second half of that riverbed.
Well, I'm sure it's going to work out just fine.
What do you mean the second half?
I got to do something there, too.
No, I mean, what is the second half?
Oh, no one knows.
Oh, okay. Are they actually in the riverbed or on the...
You know, they're up on the actual sides, the
road, the access path. Roads, yeah.
Yeah, actually being in the basin is a violation of
okay.
law. It's a trespassing violation, and we're pretty proactive about enforcing that. But right now there's a settlement in place that we refer to as an injunction between the area of the 5 freeway and Taft, where we're kind of negotiating this in court right now.
Why only to Taft?
That's just what the
That's just what
federal judge ruled.
Yeah, we're in a big mess between Catella near the facility.
Well, that would be
the facility over there going south on both sides of the river.
Yeah.
And there's a debate, you know, who belongs to what river, obviously, is Orange County or the flood control. The road, the bikeways that believe are City of Orange.
I think our very own lieutenant is in charge of all that.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
In charge of it all.
I've been wondering, since these cities that are adjacent aren't having the problem, or report that they're not having the problem, and I've also heard that about half of these people don't want to be go anywhere. They like the wide open spaces, and they're not willing to relocate to housing. And so where are they going?
That's a great question. And I don't have that answer. But I will tell you in terms of the numbers, and again, this is what we've released to the media, we have contacted just over 1,000 people in that area. We've arrested well over 260, I think last count was closer to 300 for every crime you can think of. And by our estimate, there are less than 1% who are actually accepting and pursuing outreach services.
Yeah. Are they trying to hide their behavior, or are they actually like living in the Southern California warm sunshine?
I don't know. That's a
actually, this is nothing new. There has always been a certain population that don't want to be tied down to anything.
Correct.
You guys run into that, I'm sure.
What I do think is interesting, again, for the recorder, this is my opinion. We talk about these propositions and keeping our communities safe and whatnot. By far, the majority of criminal activity that we see in the riverbed, primarily drug abuse, 2-3 years ago would have been a felony crime where we would have taken them to jail, and now it's nothing more than a citation. And where there's a point with the drug abuse in that area that you can't drive a patrol unit down the riverbed without having needles sticking out of the side of the tire
yep.
when you're done.
Oh wow!
So it's very, very rampant.
So when you guys make an arrest for, not arrest? Well, yeah, an arrest for drugs. It's do you guys just write the ticket, or do you guys actually take them, book them, and then write them a ticket?
No, sir. Citation right there.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
Which is brings you back to that coalition between all those cities, and I think that's basically that. What they want, $1,500. Mm-hmm. This sounds more like they're just using that to garner support to fight legislation to get laws changed.
That's
so,
what I agree to.
So it's not a bad idea, obviously, if you can negotiate a little bit out of
right.
it. It's more of one of those things where we're doing something civic for them. It's not really going to do us any good. We don't have that high a crime, and it's more like just throwing in the pot just to help mm-hmm. out, I think, or mm-hmm. for the exact problem we have here, which is
kind of like a mutual aid thing.
Yeah, like a mutual aid help out legislation.
Yes, sir.
Well, something to keep on top of, because, you know, as we've seen and as was mentioned, when you clear one area out, you're sometimes you're just pushing them to a new area. So as more and more cities are doing things to push them out and they're not accepting the help, they got to go somewhere. The hope is that they don't end up in Villa Park.
They don't end up in Villa Park.
Tenants going to allow that.
No. So nope. It's something to keep an eye on, keep an eye on the trends and be ready if and when it happens here in Villa Park. And I am confident that our Sheriff's Department can handle it.
Got our back.
Okay, we'll move on to item E, which is an update on the community emergency response.
You skipped D.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped D. I apologize. Lieutenant Puckett, crime stats.
Hey, I'm pretty excited about the crime stats and where we're at as a city right now. And of course, these numbers are very preliminary. But last year at this time, we had a total of 82 Part 1 crimes. This year, we have 60. And if my math is correct, that's about a 20% reduction, rough numbers. I will tell you that unless we experience some type of rash of crimes, knock on wood, in November and December, we're due to have a very solid decrease for the city of Villa Park, which is obviously makes us all very happy. So with this month, just like pretty much every month, we had a great month. There were a total of 6 Part 1 crimes. And they were all thefts of some type. And I'll go through them here very quickly. We had 3 residential burglaries, one on the 18,000 block of Cerro Villa Drive, smashed side glass door, lost was jewelry and some other items. One on the 10,000 block of Westwood, where a guitar and case were taken from an open garage. And then on the 9,000 block of Janus Circle, a suspect entered through the second floor and the loss was just miscellaneous items. We had a vehicle burglary on the 18,000 block of Dunphy Circle, where a briefcase in plain sight was taken from the vehicle. We had a grand theft on the 17,000 block of Cardinal Circle, where numerous items were taken from an unlocked vehicle. And then we had another petty theft on the 18,000 block of Taft, where registration and debit cards were again taken from an unlocked vehicle. I'm also happy to report the traffic accidents are significantly down. We had 2, none of them were injury. And citations are up, with 20 traffic citations and 26 parking citations. A couple of things that the Sheriff's Department is going to be doing initiative-wise for the entire county, but also to include Villa Park, is the social media aspect that we talked about, but also in an effort to streamline our community policing for all of the contract cities we serve. We started this program called Stay Safe OC, and I'll pass this around. Basically, it's a series of flyers, pamphlets, and door hangers. So when we experience crime trends in any particular area, this is a way to communicate to the residents, be on the lookout, this is what's happening, lock it up, keep it out of plain sight, whatever the message may be, to help negate any of the crime efforts we're seeing. And this would have been helpful, I think, when we were experiencing the rash of construction burglaries, and even though we were successful with some of the initiatives we put forth with the city, this is just a different format for that that's a little bit more eye-catching and hopefully helps people to realize to lock their doors.
So this is put out by you guys?
Sheriff's Department.
When there's something that's in the area.
And this will be at no cost to the city.
I was going to say, this would be nice if we could get a stack of these to Wayne.
Get a stack and we'll send the box out to you.
Yeah. Get these to Wayne during his meeting and put it out. Maybe some type of PDF or something like that on the city's website of this, or, you know, might be good.
Let me see what I can do with that, because unfortunately this is not a program in my control, so I don't know if I can just deliver a box here, because there is a significant cost to them that the Sheriff's Department is absorbing. But let me see what I can do.
You know what we could do on that? I'm just thinking, without study, we could give them to the... Where the incident has occurred, we can give them to the neighborhood watch captains and ask them to distribute them to their immediate neighbors.
And yeah, not the city before.
That has happened right here in our neighborhood. And
that's a pretty that good would way of doing stuff for people that don't.
Wayne, could you make a PDF and just distribute it out through your email distribution?
Oh, yeah, we can do that too. Yeah. That's easy enough.
How many crimes do we have if everyone locked their doors? I mean, honestly.
Yes, ma'am.
My math is 3.
We got a member of the public real quick. I'm sorry, you got a question?
Interact Kids? They're always looking for service hours. For the Rotary Interact kids.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, they're looking for, they're at everything.
Right, but
they're looking for service hours. Well,
and that may be a great way to distribute it,
That's right.
We need to figure out
way to pay for
the how to pay for reproduction of these. And but that's a great suggestion if we're able to get to that
use
step. But thank you.
But also watch whatever your copyrights are. You don't want to get copy.
Right. So in terms of reproduction, again, the city does not need to bear any costs with that. This is all Sheriff's Department funded. But that also means it's Sheriff's Department controlled.
Right? One of the things I think the lieutenant hasn't talked about, but you may be reading, the 13 contract cities are all putting in a $300,000 because they're concerned about the rising costs of contract services for law enforcement. I'll be very candid, there is open discussion of alternative service delivery models elsewhere, so the sheriff is under a lot of pressure. I don't want to put him under produce this at no cost type of thing, because we're very fortunate in Villa Park with our delivery model and what we get. But some other cities in the South County in particular are talking other alternatives and options, and I know they're
changing their contracts with the sheriff, is what you're saying.
No, not just changing the contracts.
Replacing yeah, that's what I'm saying, to go into a contract with somebody else.
They're open to whatever. This is just the first phase of it, and this is they're very serious about it. We're there at the table just to see what's going on, because we don't want to, if you're not on the table, you're in the menu kind of thing, you know, so we don't want to be on the menu and have formulas thrown where it's going to cost us a lot more. But I do want to share with him that he's conscious of costs, and I appreciate what he's doing here, but I don't want to put him in behind the eight ball, ask him to do a lot,
and that's why
I have to pay something here that's going to get zinged.
Exactly, and that's why I raised that point. Though I appreciate the fact having the volunteer staff would be fantastic, the volunteers to hand it out, but there are costs. Somebody, whether it's taxpayers with the county or taxpayers within the city, would potentially have to pay for it unless a private organization would step up and donate the cardstock and the ink and the time and
you know, like
and
you said, it's a little tough in this neighborhood to do it socially and electronically. So
right.
Door hangers are a great idea.
It's probably one of the better vehicles.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, if the city has to pay for the door hangers, I mean, that's not...
Is that something... Could the city purchase, let's say, a couple thousand from the Sheriff's Department?
I don't know, to be honest, because the program's still in its infancy, but I'll find out.
I will.
Because if you went and did the crime, right, you're talking three then. Because three of them were unlocked cars, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
This, I mean, now you're down 50%, you know, locking the car.
I will say this. So there's a number of different communities that I serve. And so Villa Park actually is pretty good about locking their stuff up. There's another community to the north that's similar to Villa Park where I can tell you right now that they lock their stuff up 50% overnight crime reduction. Park's actually not that bad. I mean, there would be a reduction, but if I was to guess, 25% maybe, which is still significant. But in the grand scheme of things, they aren't doing that bad.
No.
And it's not even just locking stuff. It's keeping things out of plain view, even in locked vehicles and houses as well. Because if they can see it, they'll smash a window to get it.
Like we've identified, this city is very light resistant, which is prime territory for people that just come in and are checking door handles on cars. And you know as well from working patrol, if someone's wearing all black, I mean, you're not going to always see them, you know, so.
They don't want you to see
them. Exactly.
One quick question. That second story burglary?
Was that an open window?
How'd that go down?
I don't have the specifics on that.
I was going to ask that same question.
Ladder or something around there. Yeah, he took the ladder from the back.
Oh, you know?
Well, it was reported.
Oh, okay. So they took a ladder from the own backyard?
Yeah. They went in and found the neighbor's ladder. So if you got a ladder hanging near the...
Was the house a definite, like a vacation house?
I don't know much more than what I said.
Because that's
just
an odd
no access was made.
Second story access is an odd one.
I don't even know if they broke the window to get in. That may have been a case where... I think a lot of these are people know the inside of that house. They've been in.
Right.
Well, it was my observation anyway, let's say 4 years ago, that people didn't lock their doors.
That's exactly right.
And your predecessor was frustrated trying to get people, you know, an awareness that, yeah, this, although it seems like a very safe city, you still need to lock your doors.
I would say,
but I think the efforts of particularly Neighborhood Watch and, you know, the overall raised level of awareness in the city, people are taking this a lot more seriously. I used to, you know, just poo-poo that that was just an excuse by the sheriff department for, you know, why we still had crime.
Right.
Now I think people are taking it a lot more seriously now, and in large part due to Neighborhood Watch.
There's a much better
awareness. There are people who just plain don't like the idea of Neighborhood Watch. I don't know why they feel animosity. Perhaps it's our person, my Mary and my personality. I don't know. But it is amazing. Of course, most of us grew up in a community, if we did, a small community, where we didn't have to lock doors in those days. And who wants to admit to the fact that, I put on deadbolts, and I just make sure that they work slick. And so you don't even think when you go out, you just flip the deadbolt and you come back in. And I think if more people would get in the habit of just doing it, it would soon become second nature to them. But it is learning that, making that change is the key. And and lights, you mentioned lighting, we can get more people to use the dusk to dawn automatic lights outside.
Do you know, with all due respect, that's the biggest code enforcement complaint I get. Lights on my neighbor.
Really?
Lights on my neighbor. I'm going to tell you, if I could eliminate lights on the neighbors, I would eliminate 2/3 of the complaints from code enforcement for the city.
You haven't told us that. That's interesting.
It's just, they don't like directed light that might shine over their fence or in there. Even though we have an ordinance that says it points down, the light sensor, you know, my neighbor has his lights on all night. Well, they point down, but they're on all night, it lights up, and I didn't move to Villa Park to have lights next to my house. And, you know, it's amazing. It's I would say that we are going to have a lawsuit between neighbors about what going on in the situation because of lights. And they want us to go get an expert witness to testify where the light goes. I mean, it's I'm serious. The lights, I mean, I know they make common sense, but it's an issue that Villa Park residents don't seem to. If I could knock them off, I would knock off at least 2 phone calls a week of lights.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
My lights go on probably.
Once. Not your house. I'm not going to complain about your house.
It goes off probably 3 times during the night for a week, and that's the coyotes.
We get wild animals that will come through and light them up, and then they'll get complaints. And they all, you know, my neighbor keeps turning on his light. Well, it turns out it's a sensor light. It's not as, you know. So we get a lot of.
Mine go on at dusk and go off at dawn.
Huh?
I think he might be referring to the ones that are on like a side of a house, like a rear porch light or something like that. Not like your land's low voltage.
No, not the ground up. These are things that will potentially shine 6 feet or above over your fence. So they're on sides of the house, they're on eaves or those kinds of things in the corner.
Right. And then a lot of that is too, is people don't maintain them. What happens? The sun starts weathering those, the motion lights. Or
the sensor lights.
They have the sensor thing set too sensitively. They have it set so it's on for 5 or 10 minutes rather than just flipping on for a minute. There's a lot of things that can be taken care of by residents to solve that issue so that Steve wouldn't be getting all those calls. But I'm sure that's...
Well, let's figure out a way to...
So the lights kind of has a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. People want the lights, but they don't want the lights.
Right.
Getting back to crime statistics, Jeff, I would like to compliment you. It was a regular report of construction site burglaries.
Yep. It was.
Until you caught that guy. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And it's great to see that traffic collisions are down as somebody who's, that's kind of what I do. It's what I have been doing professionally. For a long time, it's great to see that number's down because that's one of the biggest losses of life in the United States, and it frankly flies under the radar of a lot of law enforcement. So kudos for the citations and traffic awareness. Thank you.
Did I miss the citations? How many citations were there? Did you mention
20?
20. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So significant increase.
All right. Good deal.
I like this.
All right, Wayne. Tom, you had a question?
I don't want to get too far from that. We were talking about lights. My biggest complaint is house alarms. And we have one in our neighborhood where it's going off repeatedly. And the controls are locked in a bedroom upstairs. So the residents there can't turn it off.
Hmm.
And I've called to complain him twice, but in order to get a disturbing the peace citation, the city has to issue it, not the sheriff. They come out, they've been very responsive, but I've got to do something about those two.
All right, well, let's segue in. Dwayne, you started talking a little bit about it, but can we get an update on the Neighborhood Watch program?
I have a report, and I'll just read it.
Oh, okay. Man, I'll tell you, I'm off my game today.
You're under the weather.
I'm under the weather, yeah.
You didn't do it.
So, community emergency response team update. We talked about this last meeting, and there were some questions regarding worker comp costs. I think we were going to look at, or at least someone was going to look at the City of Orange's CERT program policy procedures. There was a talk of maybe segueing our CERT program into maybe a educational system for residents to prepare their own homes and be able to respond and protect themselves. Do we have any more information on this?
I'm going to go ahead and take this, Tom, if you'll indulge me on this. The City Council is taking a look at the excellent work that Tom's done in the Sheriff's Department, Wayne, a number of other people, and has come to the realization that the somewhat inflexible model that FEMA has put out there in the CERT program, the restrictions, the regulations, frankly don't work for a city like Villa Park. So this program is going to metamorphosize, and I've come up with a brief draft report. It should see the light of day here in the next month or two, and it's going to be less onerous on individuals that want to volunteer and more educational on the populace within Villa Park, and I look forward to sharing that with everybody in the future. Not to undercut anything that you've done, because I think we all appreciate that, but I think that was the message that I got from you and from Wayne and from others, that this is just the restrictions that FEMA put on things, it's just not going to work, and we needed to come up with a different model. And I think that model is really going to affect Villa Park in a much more beneficial way. So.
The problem that we have is not so much FEMA, because they cut rather broad swath of being able to tailor your program. The problem that I brought up last time with workers' comp is not FEMA, it's State of California.
It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing, because there's a lot of classes that people have to go to. We just need a different model. But right. I appreciate everything that you've done.
I researched the workers' comp thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not that bad.
Okay.
I talked to the state fund, and they said it's basically 89 cents per $100 of presumed pay at a part-time worker's, which for the 12 people that seem to want to be active in CERT, amounts to less than $500 a year. So it's not that expensive. I've talked to the City of Orange, and they've got no interest in developing a cooperative program.
Yeah.
They don't like us.
So they don't even have a. So when we looked at, we had on our minutes about like City of Orange's CERT program policy, the procedures, those don't exist, is what we're saying. City of Orange doesn't have any kind of program, is what you were saying?
Oh, no, they have a program,
okay.
But they're not interested in doing a cooperative
program. Oh, I got you, okay.
Because they surround us, so, they have to go through our city.
The suggestion was made by a member of the audience today, Councilmember Pitts, in a Robbie, if I misquote you, please feel free to step in. But the suggestion was made at Councilmember Pitts's recommendation, based upon a conversation he had with somebody who heads up CERT over in Orange, to come up with some sort of collaborative effort. It has been my experience, unfortunately, that they've got enough on their plate that they'd rather maintain their own shop, do their own thing. Different folks within our city have reached out, and though we will continue to try to work with them at every opportunity that we can, they've got enough on their plate that they would like to kind of do their own thing. And obviously we appreciate everything that they do to help the residents, and hopefully that will bleed off into our community too.
Okay, so for next meeting, then hopefully we'll have a little bit more on that then. You would imagine?
I will, yeah.
Okay, all right, good enough.
Keep Tom in the loop too, of course.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, anyone else got anything on that one? All right, moving on. Let's make sure I've got the right one now. Neighborhood Watch, Wayne.
We added 3 participants this past month to our list of house signups for Neighborhood Watch, block captains, as we used to call them. There are more people who've assumed the responsibility for getting the word out in their neighborhood. That's about the size of the long list of detailed instructions. So I always think that when I say block captains, I'm overstating, because some of them actually will have holiday gatherings this month and next of their neighbors in their home, and it's created block parties and that sort of thing. Not a lot of them. I would say the majority will notify their neighbors if a crime is occurring, has occurred in their neighborhood. Just plain good gossip, frankly. But it's also important that they know that somebody they can come to that is keeping touch and is getting it. But most people are getting reading the newsletters. Okay, we have sent emails, press releases through the Bell Park Women's League, Neighborhood Watch notices that promoted the Sheriff's Department Stay Safe program. We did that in November and December. We placed flyers for those programs in the library and several of the businesses here, particularly the restaurants, the banks, and the community churches. We took them to some of the churches in the surrounding area and passed them out to their ladies' groups and so on. We sent emails through Neighborhood Watch alerting, giving out alerts about scams that the FTC has reported on, and phony Medicare medical insurance enrollments that have kind of rolled out this year. Several people have actually put out money thinking they were getting a better program, and of course, caller ID doesn't work anymore. Everybody, I hope, knows that. You can use any number you want, and unfortunately, people aren't aware of the fact that the use of caller ID is a waste of time right now. So unless you know the person, it might help you remember what to dial them back or something. So at any rate, we continue to send the updates that we receive. We've had more phone calls asking for more explanation about the details on the blotter, and we've explained that why the blotter has limited information, and they seem to understand. They can see the point that they might not want to know that their son or daughter was involved in a crime, or implied by even giving a near address. So I can see where sheriff's departments had a little problem with the threats on that. We're also asking that the committee suggest picking up their calendars and putting a date on, getting a date certain here for our home safety fair. And last year we did it on May 18th, and it was a little late in the year. We think we could have had a little better turnout, even though we were packed house here. It was thanks to the deputy, whom I hope is still available to give that same home safety program that he gave with video, with slides, whatnot. That was really a very
That was a good program, yeah.
Yep.
So we'd like to do that, and we'd like to see it. We think the months of February and March would be the best, because it seems to be least filled with other competing activities. So would you talk to...
I would ask just one question about that. If we do it in February or March, what were the hours that we have?
We had it... That's a good question, too. We talked about that, Steve. We were at 7 to 9, and we felt the other cities were having theirs at 4:30 to 5, and we'd been better off if we'd started it earlier.
Because would February or March be a little too cold also to have any hours? And would we want to look at maybe a Saturday in the afternoon hours? We're open, but just think about what you like. Let us know.
We didn't have a whole lot of activity outside, though. We had circled this room with tables and hands-on exhibits of what's available out there. What do you think, Steve? You want
to? We'll make it happen whenever you want.
Okay. I would lean more towards March and April, as the lieutenant mentioned,
because
of the weather issue.
Okay.
And because you had such a successful event, you had standing room only, and there were people outside, but you guys were inside.
Oh, that's right.
You guys did a fantastic job. So I think that is good guidance that we should think about.
Okay, well, we'll shoot towards March, but could you...
Just once you come in, give me a holler, we'll get pick a date.
Okay.
We want to avoid, obviously, the Easter break for schools, too, things like that.
Yep.
Well, I'll bring back some suggested dates.
Sure. What was the day of the week when we did it last year? Was it a Saturday?
Or no,
it was a Thursday. Yeah. See, if you do middle of the week and you're doing 4:30, a lot of people aren't. There may be some people are still not home from work at that time. So maybe the Saturday is a better idea. I think it might be available to more people.
Well, let's try a Saturday. I mean,
we'll try it.
We won't know unless we try these things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We'll work off the fact that. The program outline is a success. We'll try to stick with that. And I know that some of the purveyors got some business out there, too, which means they'll want to come back.
If the group would be open to it at all, I mean, look, if you decided to do a Saturday, it was a morning time to make that coincide with our coffee. With a coffee.
That's
so
a great idea.
So we have a number of deputies for as well.
That would be great.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Coincide with coffee with cop.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We'll pick a Saturday then.
It's a good idea.
Thank you. That's
okay. Hello, welcome. So let's move on to item G, PSR program update. Jay Wasserman did text me earlier today to let me know he wasn't going to be at the meeting. I did ask him if there was any updates he could provide regarding the PSR program. He said there was nothing new to report on his end, so unless anyone else has something.
We did have 4 PSRs at the National Night Out.
Okay.
In addition to the sheriff's deputies, I think there was more deputies than there was PSRs.
So it's the 4 we've had existing that we've had for a while.
Well, actually, 2 of them were from out of the area. They came in, they brought the Humvee up.
Right, okay.
One of them actually was a chaplain.
Okay.
But it was a chance for me anyway to meet some more of the PSRs, get to know them a little bit. But it was a night for pretty well.
Very good. Anything else on that? Okay, we'll move on to item H, crime prevention and traffic safety. Discussion of new ideas and or proposals. I've got one thing I've noticed in the city, and it might fall more towards the Community Development Committee and Public Safety, but Steve, I don't know if your maintenance guys, does anyone ever go by and look at like encroachment issues related to vegetation? Because I noticed walking in the city, you know, I do a lot of walking around here and there, and I have a ton of spots where walking, you got to go off the sidewalk and go around bushes that are encroaching into the sidewalk, pushing people out and stuff. And I know in the city that I work in, do code enforcement, that's one of the things that we don't wait for a citizen complaint on that. We have, you know, our public services folks go out and pay attention to sidewalks, right-of-ways, and encroachments and initiate those contacts with the residents on their own to you know, look for encroachments and get the issues solved. So, I mean, if that's something that would be appropriate for this city to do, I would encourage maybe, you know, the maintenance staffs that go out and handle things in the city to maybe during their rounds, you know, pay attention to those encroachments of trees going out into sidewalks and walkways and starting to tag these residents with, you know, courtesy notices to go out there and, you know, cut their vegetation so we can, you know, open up these sidewalk areas. That's the one thing I've noticed throughout the city.
Yeah, no, we're happy to go down to that.
Okay, great.
One item that was brought up by past Mayor Mills before he left office was he expressed some concerns about crossing at Lemon and Alice. that there was a stop sign that was that residents routinely or drivers routinely blow through. And with the increasing number of school children in his neighborhood, that's a lot more school children walking through that intersection. So he was suggested that we get some type of flashing light, so similar to what's at the Newland and Serrano intersection, and also at the Lincoln and Center intersection.
Nichols, right? Nichols and
yeah,
Serrano.
Yeah, Nichols and Serrano. Excuse me. Anyway, so I did find a flashing light that, vendor at that has a photoelectric powered flashing light. And pass that information on to our city manager, and he purchased one and put it at that intersection. And so, if you drive by, take a look at it, and you know, what is your thoughts? Do you think this is something that may be effective? And certainly would be interested in knowing what the sheriff's thoughts are on that.
That's an attention getter.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's currently one at Lemon and Ellis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. North and south.
North and south.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got LED lights around a stop sign.
Solar powered, so it's
okay.
And you see pretty bright. You can see it when you're coming down.
Yeah, you see the lights, but not so much that it's glaring or obnoxious. It's just to drivers, it's right in your line, improves the line of sight and gives the time for ample warning, especially on that because you go up over a rise where you lose all visual of the roadway and go down. But the moment you crest, you're going to see it much further than you will if it's just a regular reflective stop sign with your lights on it.
We were talking about lights earlier. Have we gotten any complaints about those lights?
Yes.
My understanding that...
yep.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to discuss that. It's my understanding that we've had as many...
We've had probably a mixed...
As
a mixed,
well as complaints.
A mixed.
Any relatives of mine who live at Lemon and Alice?
We've got some complaints. We've got some people, when they talk about it, what's it for... You don't want a pedestrian hit.
Right.
So people say, okay, I get it now. In writing, we've received nothing. A lot of verbal discussions back and forth about why is it up there? What's it doing? Are you going to put it in every block? Or, those kinds of questions. In writing, I've received nothing in writing and no emails. So negative or positive. So I can't. And I refuse, I don't know what the rest of you, but I refuse to take Facebook as a valid input sampling.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say Facebook is the true indicator. There's a lot of traffic on Facebook about them. So I will say that much. We do monitor that. But I don't know if you can say that's a representative sampling saying yes or no. I just don't know. I truly don't know. So I've encouraged anybody who is on, I've encouraged people to contact me on Facebook. Put it in writing and send it to me. I'll make sure the council knows about it. I think that's the best way to do it at this point. So I would also point out that if you haven't noticed, if you're driving on Villa Park Road, you will see a speed indicator that's solar sensored going both east and west. So you can see how much you're exceeding the speed limit because it's posted right there too. It says 40 miles an hour, and I haven't seen anybody go under 40 miles an hour since I've been there. And you've seen it. The sheriff and I did that when Lieutenant Puckett, we thought it would be a good idea, that particularly at Center and Villa Park Road is pretty much a raceway.
Mm-hmm.
And kids going to school, we really worry about that. So
exactly.
We posted them. They're, again, solar-powered. And I have received a few comments, but surprisingly limited there because people don't typically call.
I can tell you from personal experience that when I was campaigning, a number of residents that are on the adjoining streets to Villa Park Road asked for exactly that type of educational technology put out there, as well as enforcement. And I think that it's a fantastic idea. If it raises awareness of one or two people, and it saves one kid's life over a 10-year period of time, or prevents one injury collision over a 10-year period of time, it's paid for itself and then some. I mean, these are...
I was out with Councilman Pitts, and you could see people slowing down, standing
yep.
there,
yep.
while we were standing there with the sign, because they thought... We were obviously going to cite them or something. The only question I received there is, are those cameras on top of it that are flashing?
Say yep.
Say yes.
And so we actually thought of putting about one of those plastic things that looks like a camera with a battery blinking that might.
They think it already.
Yeah. So, but it is something there that notice it. It's something that we've talked to with the sheriff. I mean, they're tools. It doesn't stop everything, but it's tools to
Not because it's not on a lot, but because it draws your attention,
exactly.
Everybody's attention, they see
well, it's an awareness thing. It might be enough of a tool that when it flashes and they see it, they look at that and then glance down at their speedometer to see where they're at. It
gives a pause. I mean,
I've actually seen people hit the brakes because I come down that way all the time. We live on. I go on center.
I saw somebody do 85 on that one. I was standing there the first day I was out there. They're doing 85 down Villa Park Road.
Yeah, you're going to have your knuckleheads, but, you know, no. I think by and large we're getting a fair bit of the population to, hey, I need to let off that accelerator a little bit. And that's what it's designed for.
How do you know so much of the traffic?
They weren't on a motorcycle, engine, were they?
They don't live here. They drive through. I was down Hughes yesterday, and, you know, they still have those ribbon lights in the
crosswalks, yeah.
Those really, they really alert you. Are they expensive? Are they impractical?
We can try those. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how effective they are is the question. I don't know. I mean, I don't.
Unfortunately, we probably haven't had a serious accident. Well, they're so infrequent that we can't really test them based on mortality rates. But
down in that area, a lot of the population will be crossing Hughes and wearing black clothes at night or dark clothes at night, you can't see them. But those lights alert you to the fact that there's somebody in the curve, either is going to be or has just been in the crosswalk or may still be. Yeah. The other reason I would suggest, I like this idea because when the time is going to come, when the growth east of Villa Park is going to demand a widening of Villa Park Road, they're going to be back again with the general plan amendment. And when they go to 6 lanes from 4, that's when people south of Villa Park Road are going to lose their affinity with the some will lose their affinity with the shopping center, the schools, etc. It happens. Boundaries like that are natural. So for us to hold to a 4-lane that maximum that we currently have, the more we can demonstrate the safety aspects that are required as it is now, the less likely they'll want to come to us to even make it worse by widening. So that's going to take somebody's backyard.
That's a long-term objective, but it is a concern when all those kids have to go up to Cerro Villa or the high school, so they're crossing that road. In the long term, it's beneficial for us to focus on that traffic in the Old Park Road.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to wait until some kid gets killed. So
yes, unfortunately,
like with the stop sign thing.
My comments have to do with two children that were lost on Taft and Nichols until we finally got that stoplight in there. Signal lights.
Steve, any problems? Gosh, on
1985.
Okay, Lincoln and Wanda. Mentioned that crosswalk there.
The kids
because it's pitch black.
Not the crosswalk.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any problems there?
Ever.
It's pitch black. I don't even know why. For 10 years I've been driving on it. I don't really come
south of Catillo. Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking now.
Because now the only reason I say is because it's for some reason it's darker sometimes, and you know these kids are walking across on that crosswalk.
We
can't. It's pitch black there.
Where is this? Where did you say?
Lincoln and Wanda.
Yes.
Okay. It was pitch black at that crosswalk.
Crosswalk is in the wrong location.
It is in the wrong location. It should just easily be back.
I know. It should be at Lincoln, not at where it is.
Yeah. It should be in a different spot. It's a bad spot. If nothing's ever happened,
take a look at that.
Well, partly there you got orange as well, so that's a mutual kind of.
Sure. Which part is orange?
Let's
right there on the.
I think it's on the Villa Park side.
Half the street is orange.
Let's
pay for it.
No, this is on the Villa Park side.
I understand that. Let's open the discussion with orange. Let's get there and let's.
I think the crosswalk is entirely in Villa Park.
It's entirely Villa Park.
No, it requires orange because the city limits are down the middle of Wanda.
Yes,
right.
This is on the other side.
But the crosswalk is entirely on the Villa Park side. We're talking about the crosswalk across Lincoln, not across Wanda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the crosswalk.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, that one's lit up.
Okay.
That one's got.
That's why I was like.
Yeah, no, this one, the little one, is.
We'll look at
completely
that.
Dark, and then the crosswalk could be actually, you could put it right there on the other side of Fetchin, so on the east side of Fetchin, the crosswalk should be there instead of right there on the front.
I mean, come in there
and whip. Yeah, they just whip, and I'm one of them, so I mean, you know, it's pitch black, and You know,
yeah, it's hard to see lines.
It's hard to see the lines. It's hard to see anything there. And I don't know. That's why I was wondering if anything's ever happened. I mean, if nothing's ever happened, then it's a moot point. There's no reason to.
No, I mean, we should still look at it. Just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean.
One of the things that's difficult, at least from the Sheriff's Department perspective, is everything we do has a reason. So, for example, we write more citations to decrease accidents.
Right.
We're not just randomly out there trying to generate revenue or any of that stuff, right? Mm. But the problem with Villa Park is everything is so low in Villa Park. The accidents are low. The crime is low. So some of the things that may help as we talk about this is coming up with a justification on why it's important here. Because what you're saying to me is very rational. But even if we've never had an accident there, it's the prevention of one coming.
Right. No, right? It is a very, very dark. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why for 10 years.
Visibility is key. I mean, visibility is key. So.
Yeah, there isn't enough distance for reaction time.
There's nothing there. It can easily be moved, too, just on the south side or on the...
We'll look at it with Steve. Let's work together with Steve.
I'll take it down there, Steve.
Yeah, no,
I'll walk it.
You go walk it.
All right, so let's get a meeting date, Tom, yes.
I just wanted to throw in a thing. We got into a discussion, although I don't think it was on the agenda, about Nextdoor. And their reporting of crime statistics that don't match with what the sheriff had. The Nextdoor that was in place is at Mayberry Ranch. I got a mailer today for Nextdoor East Villa Park, although it's actually in South Villa Park, not East.
Yeah, there is a group.
It's a new one.
Okay. All right. Let's come up with a date for next month, or in January, actually.
Should we wait till after the year, and there will be some new, probably committee appointments and or
you want to do it in February?
Council, so maybe February. And I'm thinking that we should probably do this by email. This way we get it out to Ruben, and he can weigh in on this. We could have a sooner one.
Probably the reason I put it on the agenda just so we discuss, because December would be a challenge to get everybody together.
We're doing it bi-monthly anyways, so if we're gonna. So that would push it in January if there's going to be some.
Well, in January there'll be. Well, December the council will change, reorganize, mayor pro tem. In January they'll be making their committee assignments, and then there's also the renewals of all those committee LEAC members, et cetera, that come up. And we're just starting that process, so that'll happen in January as well. So probably makes sense that we get everybody in sync, like the councilman says, in January and meet in the latter part.
So if we're going to push it into February, maybe early February, would that be okay?
Yes.
True.
Maybe February 5th or February 12th, does that work or not work for anyone?
As of now, February 5th, but I know that Ruben has does teaching. At one of the local colleges.
I'll send out something, an email to everybody when you go weigh in.
Maybe
one of those two
one
dates.
One of those two dates, yeah. Let's do that, and then we'll we can put something out then.
Why don't we respond on Nixel, our input from calling other cities. Let's just focus through Steve and he can send them out to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have that, and we'll also have information on the coalition, and then we'll bring all that back as well. So.
Did you have it before February?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yep.
Thanks for showing up.
Thanks.